Episode 2211, My Strength is My Story with Christy Cambrin.
Moms, needing a little inspiration and a ray of hope? You've come to the right place. This is the show that you can turn to for just the pick-me-up you need. This is Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. Here's your host, certified life coach, personal trainer, and nutritionist, Christiane Wargo. Staring at a stop
sign, watching people drive. Happy Happy Day, it is my favorite day of the week. It is My Strength is My Story series, and we have with us a wonderful sister who's back home, Christy Cambrin. I know you remember her. Yes, we talked about verse mapping a while back with Acts and Luke. Well, today she's back about verse mapping with a brand new NIV Bible. The cool thing is, though, is what we get into. Oh my goodness, we talk bikini. Oh, I'm not going to tell you anymore. For those of you who are brand new to Create You Now, friends and family of Christie's, welcome to our family. I'm so delighted of your presence. If you already had the opportunity, you'll want to head on over to createyournow.com where you can learn more and sign up for the Kisses newsletter, the Keep It Simple Strategy, Everyday Solutions to Live, Love, and Impact. Well, have you ever thought about your legacy of faith? Where you leave it? Where do you gain a legacy of faith? And how will you pass that on? Well, Christy just raises some really great questions and points, and really how verse mapping has changed her life and her relationship with God. Now, I did mention something about a bikini. Oh, yes, you're going to want to stay tuned close to the very end of this because we reveal something very interesting all about the Bible, bikini, and a water park. That's all I've got to say. So get your heart ready and let's have some fun. Without further ado, here's Christy Cambrin. Hello and welcome to Create Your Now. I'm so excited. We have someone back in the house to welcome her home, Christy Cambrin. Oh yes, you know her. She is a wife of 20 years this April and a mom to their three sons. She is a vintage-inspired storyteller writing from the space where art, history, and faith intersect. She has written both award-winning historical fiction and Bible studies. Some you may recognize, The Butterfly and the Violin, the Castle series, and the verse mapping Bible studies. Oh yes, you know it, Luke and Acts. She also serves as a women's ministry leader and speaks at events across the country. Christy's latest project, though, oh my gosh, it is a big one, is going to revolutionize how we study scripture. It's the new NIV Verse Mapping Bible. So get your color pens out. Are you ready? Welcome back home, my friend and sister in Christ, Christy. How are you?
Well, wow, what an introduction. I feel like I was excited just listening to that, but I am so glad to be back. I love anytime I get a chance to just sit and chat with you.
Well, it is a pleasure to have you back. When I found out that this whole new series was coming out with this Bible, I was like, oh my gosh, this is going to change things, because I loved it when you just did it with your Bible series with Luke and Acts, and how, you know, we dived into that, and you also had the DVD that went along to it. Maybe now it's digital download only with how things have changed since 2020. Amazing what has gone on. But I have to ask the most important question. What brings you joy?
What brings me joy? To be quite honest, it could be something as simple as the Wi-Fi working when we have, you know, 2020 and we have so many things going on with e-learning and we're all kind of navigating and shifting. But I would have to say what I learned most about joy in 2020 was just family. Really, it's just that one word answer, that how important it is. Just reconnecting with my husband and our boys. And, you know, it's really kind of a blessing in disguise to have your schedule wiped. I know most of us probably realized that in the year 2020. Oh, wow, our schedule's kind of wiped. And you just see those simple moments of joy with your family. So for me right now, it is family, not Wi-Fi as much.
Well, you know, Wi-Fi does help to get those things that you have to do get done. But right. It is so nice just to come together. As we were chatting before, our living room has become the catch-all of everything now. It's our sanctuary. It's our schoolroom. It's a place that we hang out and we watch movies together. And then, yeah, sometimes there's a few arguments in between. But it's just been, I know, amazing. But I'm sure a lot of us are looking forward to 2021. For you, what do you have planned, or do you have anything planned for 2021?
You know, I love the way you put that, because after 2020, it seems like we're a little cautious, right? About making plans, looking at things far out in the future. But we do have a few things on the calendar that I'm super excited about. So we have the Verse Mapping Bibles that come out at the end of January. So January 26th, we have my next novel, The Paris Dressmaker, which is all things Coco Chanel and fashion and resistance in France and World War II. And that comes out right around Valentine's Day. So mark your calendars for February 16th. And then in August, my friends, I am so excited to partner with Author Fan Travel. And we are taking a trip to Paris to see all of the sites from the novel, The Paris Dressmaker. So if you are a reader who loves historical fiction, you love that space where fiction and history meet and you want to see it for real, you can come to Paris with me in August of 2021. So we have a few things on the calendar.
You have just a few things on the calendar.
Just
to
a
say,
few.
Oh my goodness. And sign me up for that Paris trip. Oh, I can imagine going with my girls. What a great girlfriend trip. Or I know for you, you're celebrating the big 2-0 this year.
We are.
You know, what a special trip for couples to take together.
Yeah, I can't even believe it. My husband, he is rarely on social media. It's a seldom thing for you to see a photo on my Instagram or Facebook, or, you know, he just prefers to just kind of chill out kind of in the background, but he is actually stepping up to the forefront on this trip. And so readers will have the chance to hang out with us in Paris. We're going to the Louvre, to the Chanel Salon. We'll get to have dinners together, pastry class, you name it. It's going to be an amazing opportunity. And he's going to be right there with me. So yeah, you get to hang out with both of us. He's kind of elusive, right? Kind of elusive. So you'll get to know him a little bit.
That is fantastic. Well, we'll definitely have all the information in the show notes so you guys can get your hands and fingers on it very quickly, because I'm sure the spots are not like unlimited. There will probably be some limitation to them. So people are going to want to jump on that trip. And what better way to start the new year than already planning what's going to happen mid-year in August? Oh, absolutely exciting. Well, you do have this exciting project that's happening right now. And it didn't just happen because it's been in preparation for a while.
Right.
In order for us to really appreciate, though, this project, define for us verse mapping.
Yeah, verse mapping. And I would love to also tell your listeners that they can go back and they can listen to our former conversation. I think it was episode 13, 14, is that correct?
Yes, long time ago.
All right, yeah. So you can also go back and you can check out that episode where we dig deep into verse mapping. So if you want a little bit more, that might be a great thing for you to do. But also verse mapping, it is serious study, but it's study that moves with us. And I have to be honest, as a mom of three, a working mom, you know, writing, traveling, all of those things, I love to make sure that I have study that moves with me. My schedule is something that's just fluid these days. I never know what each day is going to look like. And I love that I can sit down and I can have dedicated study, but whether I have 5 minutes today or an hour tomorrow, that I can dedicate that time to study. And verse mapping is these five simple steps that you can take each verse through, and it really unlocks scripture in a way for me that I had never been able to understand at that level before. So it's really kind of training your mind to think like a researcher. How exciting is that when we think about scripture and understanding verse by verse in the context with which it was written? Verse mapping helps you do that.
Well, I love that you bring that out, Christy, because I do think it's contextual. You know, we need to have that context of where and what we're reading. You know, a lot of this, you'll see them, right, on social media, and they'll just pull a Bible verse out and paste it up there. And yeah, when you read it, it's great. But where did it really come from? Who wrote it? Who actually said it and utilized it? Where, you know, where's the history? What was happening during that time? And I love that you say verse mapping allows the history of the Bible truly to become life-filled for us. And it just, to me, it just is like, whoa, you know, the angels are singing right in front of you. And I don't know. I know I fell in love with it because I was not familiar until we met a few years back. And when I started getting used to it, I was like, you know what? This is really a cool thing. What do you like most about verse mapping?
Oh, I love that it gives me the opportunity to kind of what you said, to find the evidence of what we see in scripture. So to find that evidence of the promises of God or we talk about a testimony. We all have a life story, a faith walk, if you will, that we are walking with God. I love that our testimony is the evidence of God's faithfulness, but I love that we can also point back to scripture. I have so many examples of times when I'm speaking with a friend is walking through a very difficult circumstance, and instead of giving her some wisdom that's kind of like picking out just a verse here or there, here, this verse will help you, I want to know, what does God say about this situation that she's walking through? What does scripture say about it? And so that's, for me, what I love most about it. And that's the heart of verse mapping. If you come to a conclusion about, say, God or the character of Jesus, or you come to a conclusion about one of the promises, you have to be able to back it up by scripture. So everything goes back to finding those connections in the word. And that's a really exciting thing when you see how you can actually take scripture and then apply it to your life. It's pretty magical when you can do that.
Oh, it is magical. It's like Hallmark, the Bible. So you get, and then you get the historical fiction, and then you get the, you know, the creative. I mean, you just blend it all together and like, oh my gosh, it is truly magical. And it becomes more than the happiest place on earth. It really does give you this joy deep that settles in to your bones and to your joints that just say, oh yeah, I can utilize this. And I think for me, I don't know, I carry it around with me more because it sinks in deeper. Mm, I think we're so used to just kind of reading over scripture. How many times have we read the beginning, you know, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created. Seriously, how many times have we read that? But if we look at it and we begin to take it apart a little bit, when was it written? Who was there? Who wrote it? In the beginning. Well, was there a beginning? I mean, you can begin to really ask some deeper questions, and it challenges us as Christians. And sometimes I think we as Christians, we need to be challenged.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the things that really drew me to it. You know, at my heart, I've been researching now about 23 years. So I started in college as a degree in art history and research writing. And I will tell you, at this phase in my life, you know, I said, working mom, you know, busy, all of that, I wish I could go back and go to seminary. I wish the Lord had called me to seminary at those young years, but it just didn't work out that way. I was working in corporate America. I was going to college. We married very young and then had three boys. And it's just, I'm going to say this because I'm hoping that a lot of your listeners are going to identify, life just kind of happened. So life just kind of happened, but that doesn't mean that I have to be intimidated by the word of God, that I have to look at the word of God as something that I have this barrier of time or schedule or knowledge. All of those barriers can be knocked down with the Holy Spirit guiding us. And that's one of the things that I really hope that listeners will really get out of this and out of this conversation today, is that we don't have to be intimidated by the word of God. In fact, we can learn to love it, because while there are some hallmark aspects to it, the Bible is the grittiest nonfiction book I've ever read. So, I mean, there's so much truth, there's so much tension, there's so much happening in the Word of God, and it makes it come alive in a way that, for me, few things can. So that's one of the things I really loved about it.
It's everything, right? I mean, but that's what the Bible is, and it's there to teach us lessons, but being able to learn those lessons in a way that God wants to reveal to us. And it's not just necessarily taking a verse and saying, oh, this sounds good to me today. Yeah, you may need that for encouragement. But if you're in a situation, finding a situation that's similar, how did God handle that? How did Jesus, you know, place his hand on that woman? Was someone healed? Did he choose not to heal? You know, there's a lot of things that are out there that we make assumptions for. And I think we as Christians, then when we make assumptions, we really do not give God the opportunity to speak his fullness and greatness into our lives.
I think it's a lot of curiosity as well. Mm. You know, I've actually been known to listen to a really awesome worship song, and sometimes I just kind of get carried off with, okay, this is a really good worship song. But sometimes you can identify the lines from the lyrics and you recognize that, oh yeah, that's from Psalms, or, you know, that's from a verse in scripture. And instead of just taking the line as it says, I'm like, okay, well, wait a minute. I want to know, what does that mean? Exactly what does that mean? And then I may just go down this rabbit trail of curiosity and say, well, I know that my answer is in scripture. I want to find it. I want to go find it. And for me, the verse mapping, those five steps, I mean, taking verse by verse, whatever that line is that you heard in that worship song or whatever that verse is you see on Facebook, pull that out, check out that one verse, you write it down, you look it up in multiple translations. That's step two. That's the develop process. So what develops this verse? The third step, or the first step, excuse me. So we go from the design of that. I should back up and say the design to the development. And we have specific words or phrases that we've pulled out. I'm a wordy girl, right? So I may see across multiple translations, whether it's the paraphrase of the Message or it's the NIV or the New King James, I'm going to look for trends in words. I'm going to look for trends in past tense or present tense, you know, something that's ongoing. And I'm going to take that over and I want to fully develop, okay, what is this really saying? And that's where you take those words and you do word studies. So you look up the Greek or you look up the Hebrew. And I want to pause right here at step three, the develop, because I don't want your listeners to be intimidated and say, oh, I heard Greek, I heard Hebrew, I'm out, I can't do this, because we have so many apps and opportunities and websites and things that can help us. You can be like me and you can use an old school concordance, one of the print concordance. I love them. But you can also be like new girl me on my iPhone, and I have Bible apps, and I have, you know, Bible Hub, or there's the Blue Letter Bible, or there's the Olive Tree app. There are all of these apps that you can use that give you the Greek and the Hebrew right there. So technology affords us this amazing opportunity to, again, step into the shoes of a researcher and make the story of the Bible come alive. So we went through step one, which is the verse, step two, which is the design, step three, which is the development, the word studies in the Greek or the Hebrew. Step four, I know you're not supposed to pick favorites, but I do. I have a favorite, and it's step four. That's the actions. That's where you think like a storyteller. So if you will, and your listeners, I want you to think of your favorite movie. What is your favorite movie? The movie that maybe impacted you the most. Maybe it has a really twisty plot, memorable characters, cinematography, amazing music, or maybe it's all of those things. What makes that movie come alive to you? It's the same thing with scripture. What would make a verse come alive? What would make you feel like you can see or hear or taste or touch? What would make you feel like you can experience what was really happening in that verse? Someone who would have lived at that time, or for the author to have written it. What would it be like to hear Jesus' Sermon on the Mount? Like, what would it have been like? And if you're a woman like me, early 40s, what would it have been like for a woman in her early 40s to live in a first century Roman world under all of the restrictions that would have been there and see Jesus face to face? If you flip it on its ear and you really look at what are the actions in those verses, what's happening and to whom, it can really help you understand that from a storyteller's perspective. And the fifth step, that's the outcome. The last step, this should be hopefully super simple. You should be able to write down 1 to 2 statements on a post-it note. And I can't tell you how many post-it notes I have in my Bible right here that are just the outcome statement, because that is where you really take what you've learned and what the Holy Spirit has guided you through. And you say, all right, now it's time to put some action to it. And this is how I'm going to apply it to my life. Because if we have scripture and we're pulling from all this knowledge, but we never use it, where's the value there? So the value is for the outworking of the Holy Spirit to actually take what he's teaching us and to use it for the kingdom. So those are the 5 steps. You've got your verse, your design, your develop, your actions, and your outcome. And I just took you through.
Well, that's awesome. And I'm so glad you did, because I think we need to have a little bit more curiosity when it comes to God's word. And I think verse mapping allows for that. It really opens that door for us not to just stay on the surface, but really to dive in a lot deeper. Speaking of diving in deeper, you and Zondervan partnered together to do this. It wasn't like you went, because I'm sure people are like, seriously, another Bible? Like, how many translations do we need? Well, it's not a new translation, because it is based off of the New International Version, the NIV. But you guys partnered together, you and Zondervan. How did this all come about? I mean, was it like on your dream board?
I don't think I could have a dream board that cool. I mean, like, who would think of the one thing that is on your heart, and then all of a sudden you're able to actually do that thing? So I will tell you, for your listeners who are not familiar with this, if you can't see it, but I'm going to hold up my Bible. This was my dad's Bible. It's a Nelson Study Bible. It's a New King James Version. But my dad was saved and baptized at 60 years old. And he had 2 short years with Jesus here on earth before he went to go see Jesus face to face. Passed away from leukemia. We did not know at the time, obviously, that that was going to happen. But after he passed away, My mom had three Bibles, and we kind of joke about this because she had the one Bible that she gave them when they were dating, late 70s. Y'all know what I'm talking about. It's that like burgundy cover. It's got like the gold lettering on the front and the gold pages, and it's pretty pristine. It's not really used very much in all those years. And then we had a couple of other Bibles, and my mom said, which one do you want? And I pointed at this one and I said, that's my publishing family at the time, Thomas Nelson and also with Zondervan, and they're both with HarperCollins Christian Publishing. So that's why I chose that one. But I had no idea what was in the pages of this Bible. And this Bible, there are highlighter marks everywhere. And I'm going to hold it up just so you can see, but you can see I won't touch this Bible with a highlighter because some of the books are just pure yellow. And that is a breadcrumb trail of the verses and the time that my dad spent with Jesus in those last 2 years of his life. And so I might choke up, I might cry a little bit when I say this, but just the opportunity, we'd already been verse mapping. We already had the two verse mapping studies that were out. And when the team approached me and we talked about doing Bibles, we selected verses, many or most, from those verses that he had highlighted. So it was almost a project from start to finish, from the time my dad was saved and in the pages of this Bible to the time I clicked send and turned this project into my editor. It was about 8 years, and I worked with my two dads, my dad in heaven, our father in heaven, and me. And it was a project for about 8 years in duration. And so, you know, there are some books that my daddy didn't love. Leviticus, not very yellow.
Not very yellow. So, who wants to be in Leviticus anyway?
Yeah, I'm not sure. There's like one highlighter mark in Leviticus. So we did actually have to select some verses that my dad hadn't studied, but it really did feel like a partnership. So I love this. This Bible is our family's legacy, if you will. And at the core, at the heart of this project was, yes, understanding the Word of God, but it was digging into Scripture, making it come alive, and also developing those study habits for our younger generation. So families would verse map together. And I don't know who's going to get this Bible when I am no longer, when I'm seeing Jesus face to face. I don't know who's going to get this Bible, but my hope is that we would have Bibles that would be a legacy of faith like that. So the Bibles that we've developed with Zondervan, I'm so excited. They have 350 partially completed maps. So they take you through the first three steps. They take you through the verse, through the design, and through the development. So anyone out there who's like me when I started, Greek and Hebrew, that's a little shaky area. You don't have to worry about that. We have already done that for you. And we already have had our amazing, like, theologian level team at Zondervan review that material to make sure that it's all correct. So you have that. You get to jump in at the fourth, at the fifth steps to actually make that story come alive. So you get to select what translations you want to look at the verse in. You get to pull out some of those words. You get to look at the story, and you get to see what the Holy Spirit has taught you. But probably one of my favorite things about it is that we have those maps right there in the Bible. You are recording your faith journey with the Lord right there in the pages of those Bibles. And that just gives me chills to think about it. Same thing that my dad did with his highlighter, we are doing in these new Bibles.
That's incredible. I mean, oh my gosh, my heart just leaped. I was like, oh, I mean, I can't even put to words, Christy, how amazing of an opportunity and what a gift God gave you to be able to take what your dad had and what he knew and what he loved about the Lord, and you being able to carry it with a verse mapping, the system that you came up with, and then Zondervan to come out and say, hey, this is really great stuff, and to put it all together, it's only God, right? That's all you can say. It's only
right.
God.
Right.
Wow. I mean,
and the way the Bibles came together too, it was only God carrying us, because in many ways, the year for our family, 2019, prepared us for 2020, all the uncertainty and what would happen and kind of our family being all in each other's space and that kind of thing, you know, being quarantined in 2020. 2019 was a very busy time for us. Before I stepped away from my role as a women's ministry leader, I was working full time in ministry. I was writing fiction. Then this Bibles project came along. And so we were editing Bibles at the same time. And so we're jumping back and forth from fiction to nonfiction. And for me, I mean, really, it became just a labor of love. Every single morning, I would set my alarm for 4:30, and it was coffee and time with the Lord at 4:30. I would do writing sprints or editing sprints every morning from 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. and then would go to work for however long the ministry day was, and then would come home and we would do it all again. And so not only these Bibles, but my last novel, The Painted Castle, we joke that they were born at 5 a.m. Like, we know they were born at 5 a.m. because that was the way that we had to do it. But for us, yeah, there was no way that we could not do this project, just knowing how the word and verse mapping and understanding of the word had changed our entire world as a family. And we wanted that for other families as well. So it was a great journey for us to go on.
It's a beautiful journey. And we now, all of us, get to experience that. We get to bring it into our homes. We get to be able to take the color pens and the highlighters and write our thoughts and our connections to God. And what a way to leave a legacy. I know for when my grandparents passed, they, of course, you know, and you probably have a few of those too, the family Bible. And they were the really thick ones, like, you know, I don't know, 3.5 inches or so thick. And they're like almost an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper, not quite that. And oh, they look beautiful. And everything is like so perfectly laid in. They're like, nobody touched the family Bible. And it's like, well, why do we have them if nobody's touching it? It's just like, it's the coffee table Bible. But now you can have this coffee table Bible and you can really begin to put your own life into it and allow it to breathe life also back into you. I can't see anything better. I mean, yeah, why not have another Bible? I'm going to have a couple of them, actually.
I mean, this is a really hard thing to do, but when the verse mapping Bibles are in my hands, I am switching over and I am using the verse mapping Bibles. But yeah, I mean, I just love what you were saying about the family Bibles. But I got to be honest, I am not really a book purist. That means I dog ear pages. I do. I curl back covers. I jot notes and margins. And if I read a book and I really, really love it, I buy a second copy, which is like a clean copy, and it goes on my bookshelf. But I have some books that have just changed my life. And so, but I'm not going to not write in the margins, you know, and that same thing with this Bible. Your listeners can't see what I'm doing, but I'm holding it up and it's got these homemade tabs and they all look crazy and they're different colors and there's tape everywhere. And now the binding is starting to go and it's all, the leather's all cracked. And I've had this for 7 years and that's it, just 7 years. And that was the prayer. When I left corporate America, when I knew God was calling me to storytelling and to ministry, and we talked about this on the previous chat that we had, the previous episode, we talked about how I went into my closet and I got my suits out and we said, we're never going back. You know, this is a burning the ships kind of thing, and gave them all to a donation center. And then the next day I contacted church and said, I want to do what I've never had the opportunity to do. And that's join a women's Bible study. But when I stepped into this women's Bible study, I will admit I was very intimidated, not by the women. They were super sweet. But I was so scared, I almost walked out of the room, just because I thought, I don't know scripture. And I felt like I'd walked with Jesus since I was 16 years old. And oh, wow, I should know more than I do. And it was very intimidating. And then I thought, I don't understand it. So here was the prayer for this Bible. The prayer was, Lord, make this Bible well-traveled. And I didn't mean I want to go travel for speaking events as an author. I mean, that was not even on my radar. That's happened, but that was not the prayer. The prayer was, make this well-traveled, but make it well-traveled in me. And that's when he brought me to verse mapping, or brought verse mapping to me. I mean, verse mapping's been around for a long time, actually, for at least decades, if not longer. You know, I've talked to peers and said, oh yeah, we did that at seminary. We called it something else. Basically, it's inductive Bible study, but it's taking just a verse by verse by verse and just making it come alive. And so that for me, I kind of pulled on what I did in corporate America, which was curriculum design. And I thought, there's got to be teaching material in this Bible, and I want to find it. And I wanted it to be well-traveled in me. So in the last 7 years, the binding's starting to go, but you know what? The messier this Bible looks, the more excited I will be. And I hope it has been more well-traveled in my heart.
Oh, amen to that, sister. We need to travel in our Bibles more often. In fact, to that note, I think a lot of us, you know, with it being the new year, we're setting new routines. How can you really recommend to others, and maybe even sharing how you do it, in your daily walk, how can you, you know, integrate the Bible in your everyday?
Well, I think that really largely depends on the season of life that you are in. You know, for a sister who's listening who is an empty nester, you have a different perspective on your current season than a mom with two or three or, you know, more small children at home, or a homeschooling mom, or a mom who is working outside the home, whatever the season of life is, you have to allow yourself some grace. And I don't think I did that well in the beginning. I thought I have to be rigid. I have to have an hour every day. It has to be, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning, or it's got to be that first thing in the morning, or it's got to be at a certain time. And I almost, it's like I almost was rigid and talked myself out of it, because it was like, if I couldn't do that full hour, oh, I was failing at something else. And I just kind of gave up. But I wanted to change that. So if you have 5 minutes, I mean, I would love to challenge your listeners, 5 minutes, 5 minutes before the kids wake up, 5 minutes before you get in the shower to go to work, 5 minutes before you go do whatever it is you have to do, 5 minutes, and give that 5 minutes fully to God. No social media, no cell phone, no Netflix. Give that time to God and give it a try. And don't be afraid to start small. Now, our listeners can't see what I'm doing, but I'm holding up one of my first notebooks. And, you know, the very first map that I had was in Acts. And my first pages, there's a lot of blank space on the pages. Friends, I really didn't know what I was doing. But the goal is not to fill out pages in a journal. And I've had people ask me, how many journals do you have? You know, I don't know, because that's not the reason I fill out the journals. I am verse mapping, and I will just stick the journals on a shelf, and I have a stack somewhere. I have them kind of categorized, because I know when I want to go back and find something, and I do all the time. But you can't be afraid to start small. The goal here is just to walk away having learned one thing. If it's one word, if it's one promise from God, if it's one prayer, if it's one assurance that God is going to be faithful in whatever your season is, whatever that one thing is that you learn that you walk away from, that has been time. And if it's 5 minutes or it's an hour or more, that has been time that has been well spent with the Lord. And this is about owning our faith, because no one else is going to do this for us. This is us walking with him. And we've talked about it before in the context of verse mapping. We kind of joke about it, you know, in our study group and all this. Verse mapping is, you got a Psalm 139, this thing. That's what we say all the time. Psalm 139, if you've ever read it, if you haven't, stop what you're doing, pause this podcast, and go read Psalm 139. Friends, not if you're driving. Keep driving if you're in the car. Everybody else, stop what you're doing and go read Psalm 139, because Psalm 139 is a love letter from God to you. And it is how uniquely loved and made and planned for and loved and fashioned, all those things that you are. And that will show you that God just wants to connect with us. He just wants to connect with you. And after you've read Psalm 139, you will get that verse mapping is all about your walk with him. You don't have to do it like anybody else. It's your walk with him. So that was a long kind of roundabout way of saying, if you got 5 minutes, girl, do it. Dedicate those 5 minutes to God.
That's right. Start small, go big, right? I mean, yes. That's really what it is. And it's truly those baby steps that we need to take. And I think we are looking for perfection. Like, oh my gosh, if I do the step two, should it be in this certain color and use this certain highlighter? No, grab whatever utensil if you have to. I mean, my children laugh at me all the time. They're like, Mom, you're taking notes on a napkin. You have paper around, don't you? And I'm like, yeah, but this napkin's right here. I don't have to go anywhere. So sometimes I have in a few of my journals, napkins from whether it's recipes, a thought I've had, it could be an episode title, whatever it is. And that's right where it is. And I think sometimes that's where God wants us. He wants us to have him right where we are.
Right.
And verse mapping gives us that opportunity. We don't have to be the perfected Christian to come into God's presence. That's what Jesus Christ. I know. I mean, amen for that.
For that, because I would fail miserably. Like if not for grace, there isn't perfect Christian, you know, if not for grace, I don't think any of us would be making it, but I think that exactly what you said, that's a perfect way of saying it. And if I might add to that, I have written a thing or two on a cocktail napkin. I'm just saying, I've been known to do that. You use what you've got. You know, I don't know if you have a lot of listeners who are called to be writers or speakers or to step into ministry, but I would love to speak to your heart for just a second. Verse mapping is very similar, and you digging into the Word of God is very similar to what you would do as a writer or a speaker or a Bible teacher. I tell this to aspiring authors all the time. Anytime you step up on a stage in the name of Christ, the only job you have, and I'm talking the only job you have, is to give that audience more than they walked in the room with. And that's to give them Jesus. That's your only job. Your job is to not teach them anything. Your job is to not give them wisdom. Your job is to not have great sound bites or be funny. That's not your job. And whether that's fiction or whether that's writing a Bible study or whether it's stepping up on a stage, the only job that we have is to ensure that that audience walks away with something they maybe didn't have when they walked through the door, and that's to give them Jesus, however he tells you to do it. Same thing with verse mapping. That is just to walk away with Jesus.
Oh, I love that. We need to capture that for our new year and into every other year that God blesses us with. I mean, seriously, because 2020, we can come up with all these excuses that we want to. We can blame and go into politics. We won't. But we could, you know, we're not going there. Let's just stick to the Bible. You know, what do we need to do as an individual to impact the world that we touch? Because we can't all impact the entire world. I mean, there's billions of people in this world. But with each of us, we do touch a portion of the world, and that allows us to impact that world. And God wants to touch us so we can further reach out to others. I love that, Christy. Absolutely love it. Okay, so I've got to ask you a tough question, though.
Okay.
Because I'm one, you know, I don't just let you, you know, float by and like, oh, we're going to do the easy questions. I know someone's out there thinking this, so I'm going to ask the hard question.
Okay.
How does verse mapping differ from doing a devotional?
Oh, a devotional. Oh, I love devotionals. I have some on the shelves behind me. Devotionals are amazing because devotionals help you to really connect in with the story that's being told, right? Whether it's a little fiction story or whether it's a real life, kind of pulled from real life story. I love that authors can do that, that they can make the Bible relatable. How verse mapping is different is that you're not listening to a story about the Bible. You're actually digging into the story of the Bible. And I think there's a subtle difference there. And again, it's digging into the research. One of the things that I found, here's just an example. In the book of Acts, in our Acts study, one of my favorite weeks that we had, we went into when Peter was in prison in Acts chapter 12. And you would think, okay, the church was praying through the night and he was in prison, he was asleep, and then an angel came and we know the story, right? And then the chains were taken off his wrists and then the doors were opened and off he goes out of prison. But I remember thinking, wait a minute, he's in prison and he's sleeping. Okay, so I thought if you were in a Roman prison, you're probably going to be executed the next day. Am I not clear on that? So then I thought, okay, if you thought you were going to be executed the next day, would you be sleeping so soundly that the Greek word that they use is to sleep like the dead? I think not. And so then I kind of went down this rabbit trail of, I want to experience, what would Peter have experienced in that prison? What was a Roman prison really like? And there are things like YouTube, and you can go out and you can actually tour some of these sites that are in Rome, or you can learn what would life have been like. And so where a devotional is wonderful because it gives you a story about scripture, this actually has us step into the shoes of the people experiencing those stories of scripture. So that's just an example, but yeah, that's one of the things that I loved about it, because you go down these rabbit trails, right? Like that's what scripture is. That's how it becomes alive to us.
So good. I love that, Christy, because I know people are questioning it because they're like, I already do a devotion. Why do I need to do verse mapping? But there is a difference. And I do think there's a place for both within your life. Right. Maybe not in your season of life, because if you have little ones, you may have to pick and choose. So you may have to choose, well, what are you going to dive into versus the other, if you truly only have 5 minutes to be able to do that within your schedule and being realistic and to keep your sanity. You know, but as an empty nester, well, you may have 2 or 3 hours to be able to do that. So that may look different.
Yeah. And how verse mapping looked for me, I remember our family, we do all of our research trips together if we can. And I remember I was sitting in an airport on the way home from Ireland. My husband and our 2 sons who went with us, they were watching football on TV, right? We're sitting in the terminal. I did not have a verse mapping journal. I didn't have markers. I didn't have a concordance, but I was sitting on my phone and I was reading scripture in a busy airport terminal. And I realized my brain was going through those 5 verse mapping steps. And I had maybe 10 minutes before we were going to board, but I was reading scripture And then there was something I didn't get. Oh, I'm going to look that up in the Greek. And I did it on my phone. And, oh, I want to see that on a map. Okay. And so that was 5-10 minutes. And so you don't even have to jot anything down, but just going through this process, again, it's retraining our minds to think like a researcher, to really step in and experience a story. And I know I'm a little passionate, like y'all can't see me, but I'm like waving my arms and I'm going to town on this because that makes the story come alive.
It does make the story come to life. And we need to understand that God's word is alive.
It is. Yes.
You know, it breathes life into us every single day. And we have that opportunity to be able to digest it and let it become a part of not our outer self, but our inner self, and really become who we are so that when we're in those difficult situations, that we are triggered to the positive and not necessarily the negative, what God wants us to see, not what right. Satan wants us to see. And, you know, there's enough of that craziness out there already. You know, you can go on social media, you can blame whoever you want, whatever. You can blame parties, you can blame church, you know, denominations. You can go out there and blame community leaders, whatever it is. You can blame your spouse even. But ultimately, God wants us to commune with him, to be in fellowship with him on a daily basis. And I can't help but say, yes, go verse mapping. I love it. I love it. Well, when you write, because you write a lot, where does God meet you in your writing?
Oh, it's different every time. Oh, that's a great question. I love that you asked that. Well, for each novel, I pray before I even sit down to write. I pray, Lord, where are you in this novel? You know, where is Jesus? And there have been a couple of novels where the faith thread was just right in front of your face. You know, The Butterfly and the Violin, A Sparrow and Terezin, those books are on the art of Auschwitz. And so I didn't think I could write a Holocaust, you know, Auschwitz book without having God just right there. But then there are a couple of other novels that I wrote and the Lord is more of an undercurrent. And so with each book, fiction is very different from nonfiction, but for fiction, for the storytelling and taking facts and then wrapping a story around that, the faith thread is always where he tells me to go with it. And so sometimes it's, like I said, sometimes it's really overt and then other times it's not. And I don't direct it. You know, it's him, you know, he's the one who does that. But then with nonfiction, here's what I love about nonfiction. You still get that storytelling angle, right? You still get the richness of beautiful storytelling, but here's what gets me. It's all true. It's all true. You know, a fiction author will joke. We all kind of have this joke. Yeah, we get paid to tell lies for a living, you know, like that's what we do. But nonfiction is so different. That weighed heavily upon me as we were editing these Bibles. And, you know, we kind of chatted before we hit record today, but one of the funny things, I never suspected that I would be editing Bibles at the place that I did. So I wanted to go ahead and share that. We actually had me editing these Bibles at a water park. I know it at a water park. Yes. Our family, it was during that year where I was a ministry leader and I was so busy and I wanted to spend time with my family. It wasn't in 2020, but it's almost a 2020 kind of thing, right? Like I wanted all this family time. And so the only way that we could do it, we got a season pass to a water park. And it's in Indiana. And we went to the water park and I kid you not, the friendly security people who were checking my backpack, and they saw all these Bibles and theology books and like, what is she doing? There were no beach towels. There was no sunblock. And my husband and sons would go to their base camp, you know, their chairs, and they would go sit by the pool. And I went to this restaurant and I sat in a corner booth with all of my books. And I just edited these Bibles right there at the water park. I know it's just, I never would have thought that would have happened, but it was diving into this real life story. And it was just where we were in life. So again, I want to tell your listeners, don't be intimidated. Don't be intimidated to start small. If you've got 5 minutes and you think, I've only got 5 minutes before my kids wake up, I can't do this. If you can do something like edit a Bible with the grace of God at a water park, I guarantee you, you've got it. You've got it to do 5 minutes in whatever that time is that you can dedicate to the Lord. And you will find that 5 minutes turns into 10, turns into 25, to 45, to an hour, to a couple of hours, and you will find that you are living this living word. You're living scripture.
Ah, praise the Lord. Well, I got to say this, though. I'm just picturing you in your bikini editing the Bibles. That's quite the picture, Christy. That's all I got to say.
Well, I do have to say that I did have to go to the restaurant because I was trying to do research on my iPad and it was about 100 degrees and your iPad has like a temperature threshold and it was getting overheated and it kept shutting down. So I did have to go to a restaurant fully clothed and sit and edit the Bible. So you all are good. You're good.
I still think that's great because now when I pick up my brand new verse mapping Bible, I'm going to look at it a little bit differently.
Yeah, I was just transported to a whole nother place. I kind of forgot where I was and just sat in a booth with families all around me and just had books out all over the table. And we did it weekend after weekend after weekend.
Well, and that's what's so awesome. You know, I mean, people try to fit God in a perfect pocket. And God's not meant to be put in a perfect pocket. We like to compartmentalize everything because we think it's easier for us to organize. But God wants to be in our messy. He wants to be there with the kids and the family and the craziness and you in your bikini and a cover up. And whether it's, you know, on with, you know, your feet in the sand and you have the waves, or whether you're at the water park with these huge slides and kids screaming and yelling, "Mom, stop this. I don't want the spray on me." You know, horror stories.
There was that. You got it. You nailed it. There was some of that.
There's always that, I think. Who wants to have that spray stuff on? My husband included. He's probably the biggest baby of them all, but that's for another episode. Well, we've talked about families, and I think this is a great way to bring back into our families the Bible that you and Zondervan have done together. Yeah. It's not just for adults. You have brought out also a young girl's version. What was the inspiration there? I mean, come on, because you think about this. You have three boys.
Yeah, we have three boys. But picturing years back, and here's why I love that you asked that question, because coming out of 2020, and we're all, like I said, we're all kind of in each other's space. Our family has been had been quarantined for months all together. You find out how much your kids are watching. How much your kids notice, and it's the whole thing. They see what you do, not what you say, you know? And so years ago, I was verse mapping just for me, just for my walk with the Lord. There was no promise or hope of Bible studies or Bibles, or that's not why I was doing it. I was verse mapping because I couldn't get enough of the time that I was spending with God. And so I'm filling up these journals and these notebooks. And then one day I came in my home office and I saw on the desk, there was a little notebook and there were like some crayons and like a little pencil and our youngest son. And I said, what is that, buddy? And he said, well, that's my verse mapping notebook. And he could barely write. He could barely do that. But he saw me studying the Word of God when no one else saw it. I didn't even know he was watching, and I wasn't doing it so anyone would watch. I was doing it because I wanted that time with Jesus. But that was kind of the spark for us thinking, wow, if we can develop that, not a habit for studying scripture, a love for scripture, more than the stories that we hear in Sunday school, if we can instill a love for the living Word of God and teach our kids how to study the Word and to do it together, that was the spark of inspiration for us to have a girl's version. And yes, I really pushed for the boys' version, but let's just get real. The girls are the ones who are in that Word of God and they're studying it like there's no tomorrow. Go girls. Go girls. Now for our boys, I'm going to give them the adult versions and that's cool. And we'll do that together. But yeah, we do have 7 different editions and we have adult versions and we have versions for girls 8 to 12. Now I have my own in-laws, my sister-in-laws, they're triplets and they just turned 13. So I was also in development of the Bibles thinking about my sister-in-laws, thinking about them. I mean, they're kind of young, you know, still. And I thought, okay, I want something that they can study with their family. And so that's really where that spark of inspiration came from.
Oh, that is awesome. Well, I can't wait to hold it in my hands because I'm probably going to get, don't tell anybody, probably all of them, just because I like all of them. And you also gave me a sneak hint, which I did not realize, that you can also get just the journal to accompany. So there's journaling, there's the verse mapping pages within the Bible, but you can also get another journal that has nothing but the blank pages for verse mapping. Is that correct?
That's right. We have a verse mapping Bible study journal. It's available at all retailers, and it is essentially blank maps. Now, what's awesome about it is that there's a verse mapping 101. There are some study prompts, you know, so I can tell you, in working with verse mappers over the last several years, there are certain points in the process where they get hung up. One of those points is, how do I select my verse? I mean, really, like, you kind of get stumped at the beginning, and there's no right or wrong answer for what verse to choose. But we are almost hardwired to want sequence, to want organization, right? Like, I don't do well with chaos. I feel kind of uncomfortable when things are uncertain. So if I had a study plan, that's helpful for me. So you'll find things like suggested study plans, and then you can go on your own faith walk, your own faith journey, whether you want to do a whole book of the Bible on your own. Hey, I want to jump in and I want to do Psalms like we just did in our study group on Facebook, or I want to do the Gospels. You can do that on your own, or you can do thematic if you want. Maybe you are struggling in an area. Maybe you're walking through a difficult relationship. Maybe you just want some of that hope and joy that we were talking about earlier. You can take this journal and with these blank maps, and you can just run. You can just go on your own and do this faith walk if you want.
Oh, I love that, because it really allows the opportunity to grow even further than the pages that are just within the Bible. However, though, the Bible, I love the 350 part that's already pre-done a little bit for you, and then you can go in. It's kind of like fill in the blank.
It is. You know, all 66 books of the Bible. And here's what we loved about it. The maps that we have are the same in the adult Bibles and the girls' Bibles. So the girls' Bibles, the language is a little bit more tailored to girls of ages 8 to 12. So in the Bible book introductions and things like that, some of the verbiage has been changed, but the maps are exactly the same. And we did that with great intention because, again, we want families to study the Word of God together.
Well, and what an awesome way to do it. I mean, seriously, I mean, verse mapping, it just totally changes the conversation and it changes your study, because you can take a study. Maybe you could take Luke's or Acts, just saying, you know, and but you can take that and you can begin to break it down by using your journal and then your verse mapping Bible, and it can just become even bigger than what you thought. So something that might be an 8-week study, maybe a 16-week study, or maybe a whole year study, because of how you are really, you know, digesting it and how you're taking it apart. And I love it. I am so excited. I truly, truly am. When I saw that this was coming out much earlier than, of course, I mean, it's out now, but I was just thrilled. I was like, okay, Christy, you and I have got to connect, because this is going to be amazing. And I do think it's going to change how people study scripture, but also how they call it their own now.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm going to be doing this right along with our readers. And so for those who have the Bibles, we have a study group on Facebook, and it's super simple to find. You just search verse mapping and it'll pop up, verse mapping Bible study community. And you can join our Facebook group. And we are planning on going through these Bibles, all the maps. It might take us a little longer than a year. I am a firm believer that you don't put timetables on your walk with God. He's the one who's going to do that. So if it takes us longer than a year, so be it. But as soon as the Bibles are out, January 26th, grab one of those Bibles and you can join us at any time in the year, because you'll have those maps in the Bible. And so we're going to be walking through that process together, all 66 books of the Bible.
That's incredible. Well, sign me up. And we'll definitely have all that information in the show notes, so our listeners can definitely get their fingers on it and say, I want one of these in my home right now, or two or three or four. Okay, so we were talking about young girls. What would you tell your younger self in regards to the Bible about what you know now as your older self?
Oh, I still have a couple of Bibles from when I was younger. I do have one of those, wow, burgundy leather. I mean, here you go. I think that must have been a thing in the 70s and 80s, but I have one of those. And it was a children's Bible, so there are some pictures and some things like that. But it's not used the way I already told you I like to use a Bible. There are no notes in the margins. There's nothing highlighted. It was almost a book that was, almost like too holy to use. And so I would set it on a shelf and it has some dust on it. It wasn't until I got a high school Bible. So I got a job in high school and went I actually went to a Bible store and I paid for it myself. I remember walking through the aisles, looking at all the spines, and I selected a student study Bible, ideally enough, from Zondervan. How funny is that? It was an NIV Bible from Zondervan. I still have it. But if I could go back and I could tell my younger self something, for me, the experience that I had meeting Jesus at 16 years old, I did not know what awaited me. And I will tell you, there have been some amazing times of faithfulness of God where he just shows up and shows up and shows up in the places that you think are not redeemable in your life. You know, I've not been that we talked about, is there this perfect Christian out there? I don't think there is. I'm not her. I'm definitely not her. And I wish I could go back and I could tell that girl that these are not just stories. I think for me, I wasn't a reader back then. And so I think I thought those, oh, they're stories. They're nice stories. They give you some morality. I learned that in Sunday school. You know, I've heard all of that before. These are not stories. This is real. This is the real portrait of love that God has for us through Jesus Christ. He is a living person. And I think it would shock all of us. I know it would shock that girl if I could go back and tell her how much God really loves her. And I wish that would be the one thing that I would tell her, that in the pages of this Bible, you will find how much God loves you, how deeply you are loved. And I would hope every listener would find that as well.
Oh, that's beautiful. And we need to take that to heart. I mean, we need to have that hope and that grace that God gives to us freely. It is not something we have to earn. And I think, unfortunately, society has made it to where we feel like we have to earn everything, whether it's an achievement, you know, success or a certain, you know, job, whatever, as we rank ourselves up the ladder. God says, you're mine. You're loved. You're seen. You're heard. You don't need to do anything because you're mine. And that's all that matters. And so I love that. Christy, you really bring the Bible to life. And I talk to hundreds of people, all different walks, all different, you know, whether they're authors or speakers or a mom at home or a grandma. There's just something about this fire within you. Since you've been on this journey, you've been doing this for, like you said, 23, 25 years now, and really walking this. What has God given you up until this point? Because I know he's got a lot more planned. I just know it. I don't know what it is, but I know there's something out there. I'm not going to try to put my finger on it because I don't finger God. I'm just saying that's not good. But what has he given you so far in this journey?
You know, it's interesting that you asked that question. When I was on staff at a church a little over a year ago at the time of our conversation, there was a really great question that one of the leaders asked me. And he said, how many books are you going to write? And I said, you know, I've never thought of it, because every single book is a walk with God. You know, I don't set out to say, I think I want 10 books, or I think I want 20 or 50. Like, I don't have a goal for that, mostly because being an author was never on the radar. It really was not. When I graduated from college in 2010, I mentioned this on our first call, but I was a non-traditional adult student. I was working in corporate America. It took me 13 years to get my degree, going to summer school and night school and all of that. And so by the time I graduated, I had a set plan. And you've heard this before, that if you make plans, God laughs, right? Like, you've heard that saying before. So real in my life, because my plan was to be a college professor, an art history professor. That was the plan. And God changed all of that. So I would love to also just encourage your listeners that our plan doesn't have to go A, B, C, D the way we think it should. I mean, you can look on the outside looking in and say, wow, novels and Bible studies and things like that. But when it comes down to it, something you said just a minute ago really struck my heart. It's that anything that we achieve in life, all of those things could be stripped away. They could all be stripped away. And you have to look at we call it in our family, the what's left. Like, you have to look at the what's left. And if the what's left is the name and the person of Jesus, that is enough. And he is enough. But sometimes it's hard because you have to get to that place. So I don't try to plan out how many books I'm going to write or what's next or what's ahead or anything like that. All I know is the Bible's are here January 26th. We have my next novel coming out in February. We have a trip to Paris in August. And other than that, I can't put anything on schedule because God has his own appointment book for me and for each one of us.
And God's agenda is always the best agenda.
It is.
Oh, amen. Well, I know people are going to want to connect with you, Christy. Where can they find you?
The easiest way to find us for verse mapping is versemapping.com. We just make it super simple. You can just go to versemapping.com. You can get started. If you're brand new to verse mapping and you're like, okay, I've listened to this podcast. I'm interested, but I want a step-by-step process. I'm that kind of girl. I'm a visual learner. Got to see it to get it. You can go to versemapping.com. You can get started. You can try your first map. You can download a free map template. You can find all the Bibles and the Bible study journals. So really easy to find us there. And on Facebook, we have our study group. And if you're interested in fiction and you want to go to Paris with us, just go to christycambron.com.
And I say sign up for Paris and all the above.
Let's go. Let's do it.
We got to do that. Well, as you know, since you are back home, you know that this series is called My Strength is My Story. Except I want to turn the question a little bit differently. What has verse mapping gifted you?
It's gifted me a relationship with Jesus that I never knew was possible. And again, it's that well-traveled aspect of the Bible. This Bible is something that it could have been on the shelf, right? With my other Bible from when I was young. But this Bible, it sits on my bedside table. This Bible goes everywhere with me. This Bible is my most treasured possession. And I will be frank with you and say 7 years ago, it would not have been that way. I didn't know the awesome relationship that awaited me just in hearing from God in his word. And so that's probably the biggest thing that's come out of it.
Well, I cannot wait to see how God continues to bless your journey as you continue your walk. Eventually, we're not in any rush as he calls you home, but I know he's got a lot more here. But you know, when you think about it, it is a journey to heaven. And that's what we're doing. And that verse mapping allows that. What a beautiful gift. You're a gift, Christy. Thank you so much for sharing your heart with us and your wisdom. Many blessings.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And you know what? I can't wait to come back again because I just love hanging out with you.
I love it too. We'll see you soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Feeling inspired, ready to train for life and love your journey? Visit createyournow.com for more incredible resources to help you along the way. We'll see you next time on Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. And remember, always be sure you consult your physician before beginning any health and fitness plan.